This is the third chapter, the continuation of the story, what happens next to Moses. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw through the bush, though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight. Why does this bush not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. This is the word of the Lord for our hearts to consider. The Lion King came out in 1994. Of course, it's a Disney movie, a musical. It was a box office hit. In fact, it was the box office hit of that year, outdistancing even Forrest Gump, which I also love, also a great movie. The Lion King won 2 Academy Awards, kind of a rare achievement for an animated movie. It's one of the highest rated movies of all time, garnering a 93 on the Internet Movie Database. And in 1997, it was made into a musical, redone to be put to stage. And I think it's even better on stage. If there's something that you ought to see in a live theater, on your list should be the Lion King musical. The Lion King, of course, tells the story of Simba. It's the main character. Starts when he's a child. At the beginning of the movie, Simba sings about how he wants to be king and all the things that he's going to do. When he's king, he's ambitious. His father, Mufasa, tries to steer him well. But Simba turns out to be a bit of a rule breaker, kind of a rebellious soul. He and his best friend Nala go to the elephant graveyard, knowingly defying a rule of his father's. He wants to be known as brave, fearless like his father. And then his father has to sit him down and teach him about what is correct bravery and true bravery. Simba asks his father, we'll always be together, won't we, Dad? And then Mufasa sings a song about how one day he will be king and how the kings of old will watch over him, guiding him along the way. Well, there is the scheming villain of the show, which is Scar, the evil uncle. Mufasa's brother, he wants to be king, and so he conspires with the hyenas, the pack of hyenas. Mufasa gets killed in a stampede. Scar refuses to help sends Mufasa falling down into the canyon where he falls to his death. And of course, Scar blames Simba. And Simba feels guilty and believes him in his youth. Scar says to Simba, "Go away. You won't be welcome here anymore." And so he exiles himself. He goes anonymous. He goes to the neighboring land, a jungle, and meets his friends Timon and Pumbaa, and they sing of Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful way, right? A wonderful way to live, free of responsibilities. No worries, they say. It's a new life, a life without cares. Doesn't have to be prince. Doesn't have to shoulder a kingdom. They grow up. Simba gets older, and the three of them, the best friends, are sitting around one night looking at the stars and making jokes about it, and Simba remembers that night with his father, Mufasa, when he looked over the stars, and his father told him about how they watch over him. He goes away and thinks, and he wonders to himself, "Why hasn't my father guided me? Where are you now, God? Where are you now, Father?" Mufasa symbolizes God in our story. Well, Nala, his best friend, comes back. The priest character, the monkey, the baboon, Rafkiki, comes and shows Simba that his father really has never left him as he brings Simba to the lake and says, "Look in it. What do you see?" "I see myself." "Your father is in you." And then he invites him to look upon the stars, where indeed now his father appears to him and says, "You have forgotten me by forgetting who you are, Simba." And he fades away into the sky saying, "Remember me. Remember me." And this inspires Simba to return to the Pride Lands to see what has happened to his homeland. And it is a wasteland. Almost all the herds have left. People are starving. The animals are starving. The kingdom is over. The hyenas have ravaged the land. They need a good and just king to return. And so he steps up and he challenges his uncle. He has the courage to accept the responsibility that he wasn't at fault at, actually. And the truth comes out that it was Scar who killed his father. They battle, and goodness wins out. And Simba takes his place in the circle of life. Moses, in our story, is similar to the Lion King. He exiles himself after killing somebody. Yes, Moses killed somebody, killed an Egyptian, buried his body, thought the truth would be hidden, and when the truth got out, he fled because Pharaoh sought to kill him. He left home. He started a new life. He wanted to leave the past behind him because he probably felt guilty, just like the Lion King did. He was settled in a new life. He had a wife and child. He had a job working for his father-in-law. He was presumably happy. But he was persuaded to come back, to come home, to make things right. Both, in a way, are coming-of-age stories. They're stories of discovery, stories of discovering who these main characters are. They mature. They discover what is possible within them, what they're capable of, what their destiny is in life. They found out more about themselves than they ever knew. They found out that God does not forget. God was looking out after the Egyptians. God heard their afflictions and would not leave them alone. And so sends Moses. Luke, as a graduate, remember that God watches over you in whatever you do in life. Many of us have stories about how we felt abandoned, how we felt we lacked guidance, how we wandered, perhaps, how we maybe made mistakes. And although you probably heard this story, all of you or some of you, it bears repeating, that little story about the footprints in the sand. When somebody at the end of their life looks back and sees at certain times in life, the hardest times of their lives, that there was only one footprint. Why is that, God? That person asks. And God says, because I was carrying you. God sees you. There will be difficulties in life. There will be challenges in life. There will be times when you look out across the sky and say, where are you? Like Simba did. Like Moses wondered. In the Narnia stories, another story with a lion in it, Lucy asks Aslan, who's the Jesus character in that story, why you were not there? Why weren't you there, Aslan? And the wise words come from the lion that nothing happens the same way twice, young Lucy. She wanted to be comforted like she was when she first met Aslan, but she's changing. She's growing up, she's maturing, she's going through ups and downs in life. Aslan was there watching, God is there watching us, but we might have to go through some things. The challenges that Simba, that Moses went through, that we have all gone through in life, have made us who we are today. In the character in our Bible story, the challenges that Moses went through made him the leader that he was. His unique perspective of being a prince of Egypt, being exiled and returning, made it possible for him and him alone to lead the people out of Egypt. God works through tragedies and curves in the road and ups and downs through our decisions, right or wrong, the left turns that we make, the obstacles that are in our paths, tragedies, whatever it is. God will bring you, Luke, every one of us, to where we need to be. There is a brand of Christianity out there, and I've said this before, that will tell you that the goal of Christianity is to be happy, to be provided for. There is the goal of Christianity to be to have joy in our hearts, but it's not necessarily on our terms. We have a destiny, all of us have it, a purpose. We have a meaning for our lives. A lot of people 10 years ago when I first started ministry asked me, is it everything that you thought it would be? And I had, no, of course not. So what you imagined it would be, is it, do you feel that it is your calling, your destiny? Yes, yes. Does it always give me fulfillment? Do I ever sit and scratch my head and wonder? Oh yes, of course. But I answered them that I couldn't imagine doing anything else with my time. May we all be what I'm saying today is wonderfully challenged in life. May we come to a place where we feel that we are fulfilling our purpose and destiny, that we are wonderfully, that is, being fulfilled and having joy in our hearts, challenged, pushed to our growing edges. May we come to a place where we grow and can learn and to discover our true selves. May we come to a place where we can appreciate a different perspective, a broader perspective, where we can see other people's point of view. May we come to our place in life where we are challenged. May our obstacles make us better human beings. May our mistakes teach us what is true and right in life, as it did for our characters from our stories today. May we come to a place where we prepare ourselves to take the place in the circle of life, where we perpetuate God's kingdom, where we move it forward and prepare those that come after us, future generations, our children, grandchildren, to take their place in the circle of life as well. Be brave enough to pursue a challenging course in life, not just the easiest, not just the most comfortable, when the call comes, because it does come for each and every one of us, I believe. Listen for it. It will come. There are no small jobs in the kingdom. There's no insignificant thing to do. It's all significant. It all has a purpose when we work together in the body of Christ. It's always a job of consequence. May we all learn to take our place in this circle of life. Amen.